I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche! We go right and we go left. Every Monday here on 720 WGN, the download brings you Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling as they spar over issues of national political importance.
Boom! I'm ready to spar, baby.
Touche.
Touche.
This weekend gave us plenty to talk about. Why don't we start right away with the travel ban, the executive order that was brought down on Friday. Mass protests over the weekend.
Well, I was there.
New top.
New top. What do you mean new top?
New top.
The new top is that the acting assistant attorney general of the United States, the acting attorney general of the United States, an Obama holdover, has announced her refusal to defend the president's order in court.
Yes, she ordered her
45 minutes.
She ordered her folks not to defend it. She said, "We do not believe this is lawful. So do not defend
this
in court."
Well, no, she didn't.
That's exactly what she said.
What she said.
You could argue whether she should have said it,
No, what she said is, "We're here to do what's right and actions consistent with our values and what's right. And I'm not going to defend this until it's proven to my satisfaction that this is correct."
I was going to say, lawful. I mean. Would you, when you're thinking about executive orders of
that
this magnitude,
so.
and there's going to be legal, there's legal question every executive order that comes out, and this is something we saw with Obama, wouldn't you want to have your attorney general in place and confirmed and ready to go to?
Maybe, maybe not. But what she has done is itself an outrage. And frankly, she should be fired. She won't be fired because she's too tiny to fire at this point.
No, that's not why. Tell her the real reason. Tell our audience the real reason she won't be fired.
I think she will not be fired because to fire her is to ascribe significance to her, which she does not deserve.
This is not the real reason. The real reason she won't be fired, Chris, is that she's the only one who can legally sign off on FISA court applications and warrants. You can't do the surveillance if you don't have somebody legally who can sign off, and you can't have somebody legally who can sign off until they're confirmed by the Senate. That's why she won't get fired.
Well, see, she also,
but it's amazing this is happening.
It's awful that this is happening. And now, look, there is a time for people to resign on principle or to be fired on principle, as Attorney General Richardson and Deputy Attorney General Ruckelshaus did in the Saturday Night Massacre, which, of course, I remember as a terrifying moment in American democracy. But then, of course, there's a time
for people.
You ain't
seen nothing yet, baby.
But then there's a time for people to act on principle, which is what Bork did. Because as he said at the time, and as he maintained in his fascinating little book on the subject of Saturday Night Massacre, if he had not acted, the constitutional order itself would have been impaired. Okay.
So. Are we going to see more of this kind of stuff? Are we going to see, I mean, we've seen governors and senators kind of step out of line. We've seen Donald Trump tweet at senators and saying, you know, for shame, that kind of thing. Are we going to see more elected officials and appointed officials sort of step up to the Trump administration?
So, first of all, I would be remiss if I didn't share this with you. So, on Saturday, as soon as I heard about that they were excluding green card holders, permanent residents of the United States, which is what green card holders are, I was mortified. I was outraged. And for all the talk that the Trump people have and that Breitbart put out a story saying, oh, these protests at airports are being done, organized by CARE, the Committee on American Islamic Relations. No, they're being organized and spontaneously happening because people like me, and actually I was texting with J.B. Pritzker, who may be running for governor anyway.
Plug.
But I was texting with JB. And
Bruce Rauner is the governor, and he's running for re-election.
Yes, and where was he, Chris? Funny you should mention that.
He was
cavorting with the Koch brothers.
Yeah. He was learning how to get
when he should have been standing
for
up
Illinois.
For the rights of Illinois.
He was trying to get
anyway,
some
energy
for Illinois.
So I was texting with JB, and we basically were like, this is unbelievable. He's the great grandchild of immigrants who were escaping pogroms in Russia. I'm the grandchildren of immigrants who were escaping persecution in Poland and Romania. And we looked at this going like, this is not our country. And so we went out to O'Hare and we protested and helped in whatever minimal way that we could.
And it was very minimal.
This is...
You're really anti-protest there, outrage. Mr. Roebling. Jeez.
This is an outrage. This is an offense.
It is an outrage. I want to tell you, it also goes right at the Trump brand. And I what was even more astounding after this whole unfolding of events, which David relates with due self-regard, you get this article in the Wall Street Journal today. I don't know if you guys saw it, that this had been, quote, planned, unquote, for weeks, if not months, and they still screwed it up so badly.
Well,
and
they planned because they planned it by excluding the head of Homeland Security and
right.
the
so let me step yeah, one. Let's get rid of the people. Who
implementation
know what they're doing.
Has been there's been a lot of criticism
it's
about
been
the
awful.
Implement.
It's yeah. been it's been a miserable failure, and I want to say, I have consistently for the last 12 weeks, whatever, since he got elected, said he has three problems, and his problems I have said are conflicts, details, and
the third one,
the Department of Energy. Right?
Oops.
Conflicts, details,
and the Department of Energy.
Yeah.
And the Department of Energy. And to that list, I'm now adding competence. Because if he cannot be consistently competent, then the central assertion of his campaign, I'm not a politician. Politicians are windbags who never get anything done. I am a successful business. When I come to a city, I leave a 90-story building in my wake. That shows I can get things done. Well, the 90-story building is here, and it's not falling over. But this whole policy formulation and then implementation has been
but Chris,
an utter
disaster. You've done, I mean,
impulse control
how does,
is your other
impulse
both
control,
of you guys have
you,
been yeah. involved in politics and government yeah. in different phases. How does if this has been planned for weeks and months, how does it get to the point where it kind of stumbles out of the gate? Is it all politics?
That's
I mean,
easy.
What is it?
Him no, it stumbles out of the gate when you exclude the professionals who need to be in the room. And that's exactly what happened here. There's a story about General Kelly, the Homeland Security Secretary, who was given a copy of the final executive order to review. And he was on an airplane reviewing it when the press conference came out with, or not the press conference, but the press event came out with Donald Trump announcing the executive order. In other words, the guy had no time to review it, and it just happened.
Okay, so
that's not how you govern.
And here is the another way of saying what David just said. This is lousy, capital L, lousy staff work. And the person who is responsible here is Reince Priebus.
Mm.
All right.
That's not good for Priebus.
Here is the basic theory is the chief of staff is responsible for both what comes into the president's office, what comes onto his desk, what comes to his hand, or what he's hearing and seeing in a briefing. And then the chief of staff is responsible for executing the decision that is made by the president.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, because I think it's a great stopping point to say there are other issues that we've had with people that are surrounding the president. Steve Bannon comes to mind with the National Security Council. Do you run the risk when you have these loyal people around you, whether it be a brother or a son-in-law or someone that worked on your campaign that doesn't have experience in government, and you're seeing sort of the trip up, the stumbles out of the gate because they're not as experienced? Is that something that Donald Trump has to figure out in his early part of his Trump administration? Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling, touche here on The Download. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche. You go
right, you go right. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in for Touche. We do this every Monday night. Sort of assess and argue about national politics. Let's get to National Security Council. Unprecedented to have Steve Bannon up there, especially when I was reading a great story about how George W. Bush didn't let Karl Rove in. Right. Have made it clear to separate issues of national importance with politics. Adding Steve Bannon to the National Security Council and taking out the Joint Chiefs of Staff and taking out intelligence, does that say, does that change the what we've known in the history of American politics or American government?
I don't like it. I don't like it. And I'll tell you, even though Bannon served valiantly by all accounts in the you know armed forces, that doesn't qualify him to be in that chair and at all of those meetings. It really should be the opposite. The Joint Chiefs should be at every meeting, and Bannon should be one of the guys who's listed as when necessary. And here's why. The brilliance of the founders relative to the Constitution was that only Congress can declare war. And for Congress to do something, it is innately and inherently and appropriately political. And folks need to understand that when you are going from responding, not responding to a crisis, but if you're getting into a major conflict, you have to have some sense, is the country, one element in the calculus, is the country prepared to support mm-hmm. this position to the extent of losing lives and spending treasure? That's a political question, and therefore there is some justification. But I don't like Bannon being in on every meeting and the Joint Chiefs being excluded or being there only when called.
David Axelrod wrote a column at CNN.com today saying, "I woke up this morning as an alternative fact." Sean Spicer is demonstrating that the Stephen Colbert quality of truthiness in his press briefings. And one of the things he cited, he said, oh, David Axelrod would walk in and out of National Security Council meetings all the time. And David Axelrod responded, no, that never happened. What happened is that there were a couple of circumstances when we were preparing for the bin Laden raid when I was allowed to sit in and listen. And that is it. That is a far cry from being a member of the Principals Committee. Mm. And again, having Bannon there, who, by the way, ran a website that considered itself the home of the alt-right. That was his what he said about that website, Breitbart. Having Bannon there and kicking out the director of national intelligence and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and they're not kicked out as in they can't come into these meetings, but they're no longer a member of the Principals Committee that are automatically included in every meeting. It's dumbfounding because Trump is justifying this outrageous executive order on refugees and green cards and immigration by saying this is all about safety, security, safety, security, safety, security. And yet you make the single most reckless security decision, national security decision to date, which is to kick out your DNI and your chairman of the Joint Chiefs and put in your political guys. It's unbelievable. And honestly, Justin, the question is this incompetence, as Chris yes. talked about earlier, or is it malevolence?
That's a great question. That should be the rest of our convo here. Well, I think the American people are questioning on either side of your political lens, but is it incompetence or is there something more nefarious at play?
I don't think that there is, but you know what? We now have a ticking time bomb for Donald Trump. And I believe that if this thing goes past the 91 days or, you know, I mean, he's got this 90-day, 60-day formula. So we're looking at less than 6 months, and we're looking at countries like Iraq, where it's hard to imagine countries in the world with governments that are more closely interwoven with our own. So let's just take Iraq for a second. If Iraq is not off of this list, which was created by the Obama administration, not by Trump, and that
not
ought
exactly.
to be. That ought to be kept in mind. And that's another failure of this whole thing. They haven't communicated properly about what this thing is. So guys like David can misrepresent it. But what you have here is if he's not going to get countries off of that list and they're going to languish and they're going to just get into this sort of extended period of timeout, then people are going to have a basis to say, more is going on here than was originally said. Now, some country, Iran is defying this thing. They're mm-hmm. saying, which is it's a terribly, I would say, heartbreaking story for folks who are cleared into the United States and who have met all of the sort of tripwires you're supposed to meet, and then they get excluded. And in some cases, this is tearing families apart. Not in a lot, But it's but this is
no
a,
in quite a few. I mean, what they're doing with what they're a couple hundred. Those are real people, real families.
I know.
When I was at O'Hare on Saturday night, they were one of the people that the lawyer was telling me about was there was a couple. They both have green cards. He was still in this country. She had gone to visit a sick relative and had come back with her 9-month-old baby. They have green cards. They're legal. They're legally entitled to work and live in the United States. And they had a 9-month-old baby, and they were held in detention at O'Hare for 12 hours.
Right.
Now, you please tell me what justification they had. And one of the reasons, and this gets into the competence versus malevolence question, when they implemented the order, they didn't give clear direction to the folks at the airports around the country. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, that's part of the stumbling out of the gate.
But it's still going on. There are 40 people now at O'Hare.
I guess
held.
I you know,
being held.
That
Chris,
were held
let me
today,
ask you this, because
today.
You know we've done Touche for a year. You're now went through the primary. You weren't a Trump guy, but you got behind him, and you talk about the conservative values that he somewhat represents. And I'm interested because you will hear on the, you will hear on different media channels that Trump voters support a travel ban. They think this is what
I did not vote for Trump,
but he campaigned on this. My point being that he campaigned and he won the election.
Oh, let me tell you, middle America doesn't care at all about the 200 people. I mean, I don't think it's affecting his base. Frankly, I think the more people are protesting, the more David and JB are going out there passing out Pritzker for governor lapel pins or whatever the hell
happen.
It is. You know, going out. I mean, George Soros is throwing $100 bills away, you know, to quote Shel Silverstein. And
he didn't give me one.
So that's all good for Trump, and they're playing into his...
Yeah, I'm not so sure. Donald Trump, if you looked at his approval ratings from the moment he became, actually was sworn in as president to today, he has set a brand new record for the fastest new president in polling history to go to an upside-down approval rating where more than 50% of the voters disapprove of him.
Well,
line, Chris, is a straight line. It is still going up.
And let me tell you...
By the way, the previous record was 630 days.
This
was eight.
The situation with competence, I believe, is at the heart of that. I mean, people did not elect him to... you know, goof these things up.
That's what government usually does.
They thought he was going to get these things right.
Right.
And
that's what he ran on.
I'm going to
drain the swamp and I'll get things done because these PC politicians and their gridlock and Congress,
they're all talk, no
they're
action.
Talk, no
he
action.
Ran
I'll
on a
action.
Platform of I'm going to shake up Springfield and bring a businessman's sensibility
Would
to run government. Oh, wait, sorry. Wrong state.
Stop shilling.
Oh, please.
JB.
I've been saying that long before JB was even thinking about
all
this.
All right.
Anyway,
it is the same premise, by the way. The notion and people like me have said to people like Chris, it is not the same thing to run a business as to run a government. And so the notion that
I agree, I'm only eight days in.
Like, I want to make something clear that, I mean, there's still a long way to go. I think that some people will say, and a lot of people will say, I mean, tomorrow's a big day. The Supreme Court nomination, doing it live on television, which is kind of unprecedented,
right,
to do it in that form to the nation, and a little bit narcissistic in the way that I have brought this nominee. Just do it like everybody else, just once. But anyway, I digress. The point
that
being that
not,
every
the narcissism
single...
sweepstakes was won by Obama.
Oh,
58,000 times over.
Yes, all those buildings with Barack Obama's name on them.
Okay, but my point being that, like, we're eight
pull
days
an
in.
Obama tape and count
it's
how
10
many
days.
Times he says
every
I.
9 days,
ten.
Every 10 days, every single issue that Trump it seems to be met with criticism. Tomorrow is a big one. Is there momentum off of will senators and congressmen, will they see momentum, Democratic senators and congressmen, off of the fervor that's been created from some of the executive orders when it comes to a Supreme Court nominee?
I think the people in the streets, both of the Women's March and then what's happened, the spontaneous response to this order, if it's not giving Democratic legislators backbone, then they should quit today. Because this president is going to do things. We need to develop a new vocabulary for the word unprecedented. Because this president is going to do things in ways that have never been done before, and I don't mean that in a good way. And Democrats need to recognize that you cannot just roll out the red carpet. Now, mind you, I was not going to suggest and would never have suggested you don't vote for Mattis or you don't vote for even Elaine Chao, Mitch McConnell's wife, who is a cabinet secretary. Yeah. But others, like Jeff Sessions, if a Democrat vote for Jeff Sessions, that person should be primaried. It is outrageous. Jeff Sessions will not enforce the laws of this country.
We only got a minute left. What should we expect from this week?
I think what we're looking at here is a situation in which the establishment is using all levers at its disposal to leverage opposition to Trump. And I think that's been true since the day he got elected. And so everything that we saw from the election to the inauguration was delegitimization. And everything since he became president has been opposition. Now, Trump has done things. And sometimes when you do things, you've got people who say, oh, I'm glad you did that. And you did that and you're a stupid idiot for doing it. So as he does things, he's going to mount up opponents. But I'm not sure. My point about this whole immigration announcement is that unlike the other things he has done, and unlike what he's going to do tomorrow night he will reinforce his base. But with this implementation and the kind of chaos that David was talking about, and the possibility of malevolence, because the American people are not malevolent, that has gone to his core. That has gone to his claim of competence, and that is potentially diminishing of his base.
Watch in the next few days, because I know we're out of time for the segment, but watch in the next few days the Russia story, because
could come back
because he talked to Putin on over the weekend on Saturday and apparently didn't even bother to talk about the Russian interference in the U.S. election. Forget the delegitimization question. Russia intentionally tried to interfere. And in fact, Russia has arrested several key people
to try to keep
them away from U.S. investigators. Yeah. But in any event, they've arrested them. That story, I suspect, is going to blow up this week.
Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling, it is Touche every Monday night here on The Download 720 and WGN. Thanks, guys.